everything inside and out, and love's strange, so real in the dark. Think of the tender things that we were working on. Slow change may pull us apart when the light can.
Everybody, it is the Stars Align show a little bit later than we would have normally wanted to start.
Normally it is directly after the ball game, but we're up here visiting Dustin, the co-founder of Overtime.News. I'm up here away from the normal studio, and you know, we had family stuff on to dinner afterwards, celebrating the win, all that stuff. So we are here a little bit later on than normally would be, and I was going to start the show off with this. Honestly, I'm trying to upload clips at the same time. So let me hit it with what I feel is deserved more than the other wins that they've had so far.
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
And I say because this was a gritty win. This was a come from behind by two scores and outscore San Francisco 24-3 in 2.5 quarters. It was a win that last year, this team would have lost that game, and it probably would have been an ugly loss. And the fact that this team was able to hold their composure, keep everything going, get everybody poised and doing their job, and getting, most importantly, getting the stops that they needed. Because, I mean, they were Swiss cheese for the first two San Francisco drives. But after that, the defense got comfortable. They settled in. And, you know, this San Francisco team, we joked around during the game, Dustin, this San Francisco team, oh, it's just the 49ers. And, oh, I can't believe that they're, you know, playing this bad against the effing 49ers. But the 49ers are not that bad. Remember, the Rams are first place in 3-1, beating Arizona and Seattle. And they lost to this Niners team 28-0 on National Football Week 1. So the Niners team is not terrible. They're not great, but they're not terrible. And last year, this was a game that Dallas lost. So that is why I'm happy to see that they put the pieces together. They have a young rookie quarterback who stayed composed. They had Zeke, who's finally starting to look like a number 4 draft pick. And they had a defense that came up with the big stop when they needed it, something we couldn't do last year.
I just feel like, in general, the defense, it stepped up. At first, it looked like we were going to get blown out. It looked ugly. It looked scary. I was very depressed early. We went down 14-0 quick. Gabbert was stepping into the pocket like a Hall of Famer, slinging it, just driving the ball in on zero pressure.
I don't know if, let's say, the pressure was stepped up, and then that made it a little bit more difficult for him to drive that ball in, like we were saying. I just don't know.
No, it's Blaine Gabbert. That's what it is. I mean, the guy is an option quarterback with a limited arm that for the first drive, he's an NFL quarterback. Any NFL quarterback, if he's given time to step up in the pocket and throw, is going to make some throws. I mean, they get to the NFL for a reason. Okay, these are not high school quarterbacks anymore. These are NFL best quarterbacks in the world guys. Blaine Gabbert, I believe, came out of Missouri. And, you know, which is an SEC school now and everything like that. So, I mean, he's a quarterback that is good enough to be in the NFL, which means that he's good enough to make wide open.
That's understood, but the problem is that he's like the equivalent of what's-his-face in Cleveland. What's Kessel or something? Or whoever's starting for Cleveland is
Garbage. Cody Kessel, yeah.
Okay, so this is – so we can argue that Blaine Gabbert failed miserably in Jacksonville, and then
he was a bench player. Yeah,
but that's my point, is that he didn't turn out to be anything in Jacksonville. He didn't pan out anyway. they were calling Pretend Tebow for a little while before they got Bortles. So I don't know. I don't put a lot of stock in Gabbert. I think that he does do well in the option pistol type offense. He does do well in a Chip Kelly offense. But I don't know. I was a little frustrated that he marched down the field on a 14-0 easy. But then they were able to get it together. So realistically, it's one of those things where I'm glad that they figured it out. What was the ending score?
24-17.
Okay, so in reality, we only let up 17 points. I can't remember what the final scores were from the first three games.
I can tell you, the first game, 20-19, I believe it was.
I
got to
check again.
I
think it was
20-19
against the Giants.
Week two was, I believe, also 24-17, but I got to check that again. And then 31-17 last week, 24-17 this week. So they've held every team that they faced to right at or under 20 points, which is great for this defense that ranked near the bottom of the league last year.
I guess. I mean, I'm trying to not be overly critical of this team, but at the same time,
you overly critical? Come on.
Well, it's difficult because this is the San Francisco 49ers. This is a team that is completely upside down right now with zero chance of playoffs, zero chance of anything really other than being like a 5th-and-10 team, and that's being optimistic. So I understand that Chip Kelly is going to come and he's going to help out any team, but I just can't feel good about the fact that this one came out. It's just like last week. Who did we play last week?
Chicago Bears.
Garbage. So we play a garbage
arguably
league.
The worst team in the league.
Right. With the Cleveland Browns and with the San Francisco 49ers.
I don't know if San Francisco's on that level. I don't know if
they're pretty close. Everybody got up and left after Harbaugh left. This is like a
major reboot. Somebody might as well hit the reset button on that franchise.
And it was. It was 20, by the way, just real quick, it was 20-19 week one, 27-23 to 31-17 last week, and now 24-17 today.
So we're talking a defense that's let up roughly 18 points per game. That's not bad.
No. No, not at all.
So,
and
an
offense
that
has scored, 20-27, 31-24. So I don't know what
that's about, like 23 points average-ish.
Yeah,
so,
which isn't great, but it's not terrible either.
So you're averaging around 23, 24 on offense and averaging around 18, 19 on defense. That'll get it done, but you know what that reminds me of is 500, a 500 record, 8-8, you know, very even, not good enough to be great on one end. So that's what I guess. So let's address Dez. So Dez didn't play.
Nope.
Now, this Butler kid comes out of the woodwork. He has a couple of good plays. I'm not saying that if Dez was in the game healthy, this would have been a cakewalk. But I am saying there are advantages to him playing because he's a threat. He demands attention. So maybe Cole Beasley gets more looks because there's less people looking at Beasley and more people looking at Dez. So maybe just that star power, that big body, he's imposing, he's scary, he's got a reputation. Maybe him just stepping on the field, can't even burst off his hamstring. Maybe that would have been enough where the defense had to respect him to the point where they couldn't man up on everybody else like they did. I mean, we saw Beasley virtually ineffective this game. So with Beasley virtually ineffective, who is, you know, people say the number one wide receiver for us.
Right now, he is, yeah.
Football. So through the first quarter of football, Cole Beasley is our leading wide receiver. That's not something that most people expected. Now, Witten, I understand him getting looks the first 2 weeks. They've dwindled, but I get it. He's great. He's going to go down as an all-time great tight end. He should be a surefire Hall of Famer. Didn't get the looks. I don't think I saw a lot of throws go Witten's way. I saw maybe one missed defensive pass interference call where he got bent the wrong way before the catch. And then I can't really remember Witten making any big plays that way. They're just little dink and dunk things. Nothing like deep, like you'd see Romo to Witten 20 yards, Romo to Witten touchdown to win the game against the Giants. It wasn't that. So back to Dez, he doesn't play, and it seems like an average team gets to really play like they're the 2000 Ravens against us.
Well, yeah. And the one thing that I'm anxious to see is the next 2 weeks, because Romo, they just said today, was slated to come back week 8. All right. The next game, we have the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, my thing is the Bengals, yeah, they haven't been anything super special. Okay. I mean, you look at their schedule so far to date, and they're not blowing the doors off. I mean, they beat the Jets by 1 point, 23-22. Lost to Pittsburgh 24-16, lost to Denver 29-17, and then beat a terrible Miami Dolphins team 22-7. So, I mean, this team isn't blowing the doors off either, and that's with A.J. Green, Andy Dalton, Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard. I mean, a relatively decent offense. Yeah, they got gutted. They lost, Marvin Jones, I believe his name is, who was big for them last year. They still got Eifert, but he hasn't been doing much. But this team has not really put it together. Their defense has looked stout. I will give them that. But I'm not super worried and scared about Cincinnati. So after Cincinnati, then you've got the game that I think every Cowboy fan has circled on his schedule, and that is the Green Bay Packers. And only problem with the Green Bay Packers game so far to date is that it's in Lambeau. Now, we all know what happened 2 years ago in Lambeau. Nobody who's a Cowboys fan is going to let anybody forget that. But the Packers have 27-23 win over the Jaguars of all teams. And in fact, the Jags came within inches of converting a fourth down that probably would have came and won the game. Lost to the first place Vikings 17-14. They scored 34 points against the Lions last week, but allowed 27. So they've got a bye week this week. We don't have any sample size from this week. But the only game I really see Dallas losing coming into that bye week before Philadelphia could possibly be the trap game in Lambeau, and which would sit us at a 4-2 record with Tony Romo coming back. And I'll tell you, if any Cowboy fan who came into the season knowing Romo was hurt to start the year and said, hey, you can get Romo back at 4-2, I think they would take it in a heartbeat. Absolute heartbeat.
I agree with you. I think that – so how many games do we have left, no Romo? Two?
Yeah, Cincinnati, Green Bay, we got a bye week. Then we play Philly on Sunday night.
Okay. So Cincinnati, I mean, you know A.J. Green is going to just annihilate us.
But they got to take him away. I mean, if you're Rod Marinelli, you're finding a game plan to take A.J. Green out of the game and make Andy Dalton beat you all the receivers on that team, which he hasn't proven.
Who's matching up with A.J. Green on the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, they can double down on him. I mean, they can drop safety help over the top, run the double coverage packages. There are ways to take guys out of the game. And Rod Marinelli would know these better than I would. That's why.
No, they got a good set of backs there, though. Also,
Hill and Giovanni Bernard. Yeah,
and that's an issue because now we double down, and then we're leaving a lot of our linebackers out to dry, aren't we?
Yeah, pretty much. How interesting
is
this,
Chris? I'm going to be honest with you. I think Cincinnati is the trap game. I think Green Bay is just a game we are overmatched in.
So you're looking at, okay, let's just say we drop both for 3-1. Drop both. That's 3-2. That's 3-3 sitting in 5 week going into Philadelphia. Either
and
way.
You're throwing a who the hell knows what we're getting Tony Romo into a 3-3 you better get a W. Otherwise, we're probably severely behind the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, and here's the storyline set up. Here's the poetic justice of the whole thing.
This will be our first Philadelphia Eagles game.
Yes.
Okay. So even if we win it, if we don't win the second one,
well, the second one,
big trouble.
The second one's the last game of the season on January 1st. But here is the poetic justice of this. We're getting Romo back. Sunday night football, national television, 8:30 game. And you're getting your guy back. It is set up for one of two things to happen.
An epic failure or a heroic comeback story.
On national television for everybody to see.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? After that, we got the Cleveland Browns. We're at Pittsburgh. Home against Baltimore. Home against the Redskins. At Minnesota. Home at the Giants. Home against the Bucks. Home against the Lions. And then at Philadelphia to end the season. So, obviously, our schedule is backloaded. It gets worse for us the farther into it we get. But overall, I think this team has the talent, yes, the defense has some holes. It can get exposed. But it also had almost the exact same holes the 12-4 year. But what were we able to do? Run the football, waste clock time, short high percentage throws, you know, hold on to the ball for a majority of a quarter, and not let this defense get on the field. And when the defense did get on the field, they were expected to bend but not break. And that's what we've seen so far from this defense. This team is Terrence Williams getting to the sideline away from being 4-0 right now. So that's pretty damn good considering the circumstances of all the injuries, the suspended pass rushers, the rookie quarterback, a rookie we didn't know what we were getting out of at running back, a banged up offensive line. To be 3-1 and probably 8 seconds away from being 4-0, I'm pleasantly optimistic.
Don't you think that has a lot to do with Dak?
Oh, hell yeah.
So aren't you afraid that the second we put Dak back in, I mean, take him out, it could disrupt this magic and this Disney Channel?
Yeah, you worry about that, sure. But Romo obviously gives you the best chance to win.
Does he really, though? Does he? I just don't know. Now, I did see this game a lot of rolling to the right and just airmailing passes. I mean, rough catches.
Balls that Romo would have completed, you would think.
Okay, so throws that Romo would have completed, you think. But now, is Romo making those rolls? Does he have the speed to get out of the pocket?
That's true.
That
does he have the mental poise now knowing he can't get hurt again?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm afraid that Tony is like an abused animal now where
I don't know if I'm going to get Tony Romo. I don't know if I'm going to get that guy that spun out of J.J. Watt, one of the scariest defenders in the league and threw 30 touchdowns. I don't know if I'm going to get that spin move Tony Romo anymore, or if I'm going to get the second I feel like pocket collapsing, I'm going to drop my...
Like Tom Brady.
Exactly. And I don't want that. All right, yeah, I'll take 4 Super Bowls, blah, blah, blah. No, I don't want a guy that doesn't fight. I don't want... You know who's a wet dream for being a quarterback? Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, yeah.
A guy that just keeps his feet pumping.
He's a fullback playing quarterback.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He, to me, that's a man's quarterback. That is a 90s quarterback. That's a guy who jumped a decade and should have been playing against Troy Aikman, should have been playing against the big defensive backers with the big shoulder pads and the collar roll.
Yeah.
That's who Ben Roethlisberger
is.
What
about Aaron
Rodgers? No, he's a pussy. He's a little pretty boy who wants to do commercials with Clay Matthews all day.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Okay.
He's not a man's man. Come on. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, Dak's built like a slower halfback, like a fullback. And
would
like
you say with his speed, he's a cross between like, okay, he's got Michael Vick running abilities with Donovan McNabb size. Did you say that?
No, he's got Donovan McNabb everything because he's the exact same thing.
McNabb?
He's built.
Okay.
I think he's a McNabb, but I'm hoping he's better than McNabb. Like, I think I see a lot of similarities to their build and their movement. Like, fast and powerful. Like, Romo's elusive and, like, liquid. You just can't grab onto him. And then all of a sudden you started to grab onto him, and he's broken. So that's what I'm worried about is when I get Tony back, am I going to get cautious Tony or am I going to get gunslinger Tony? Because I think gunslinger Tony gives us the best chance to win. But if I get cautious checkdown Tony, I'm thinking I want to stick with Dak. Especially now that Dak remembered how to throw a pass touchdown.
Well, I don't think he ever forgot how to do it. He just hadn't had the opportunity to do it before. So here's, and Dak Prescott, by the way, set the rookie record. He has now, what is it, 130 pass attempts without an interception, I believe, which is awesome. But Dak Prescott today did another thing that was very special. He's not blowing the doors off. He's not putting up Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers numbers, Matt Ryan numbers, okay? He is playing to the strength of what this offense is. 245 yards today, two scores, and no picks. Here's a little bit of what it sounded like.
It's been 99 passes in the NFL without an interception for Dak Prescott. The poise that he has shown, the fourth-round pick, has been what stood out to me.
Well, that, and you look at the completion percentage, he's been, you know, very poised within the pocket.
Play action. Underneath, it's the fullback, Smith. A good start to this drive. End zone. Coming back for it. Williams. Touchdown. Third and six. Blitz. Prescott underneath. Williams will run for the first down. Not go out of bounds. And they'll have to spend a timeout. Out to his left. End zone. Touchdown, Butler. How about the kid, Dak Prescott? Butler's got a touchdown in this game, and he's got a first down. Just three men on the rush. Prescott has got Butler with a catch for a first down. Out remaining, second and 12. Blitz, throw to Beasley, safe throw, first down. They will not get the ball back, although a flag is down. It came in late. Will Hoyt chases down Beasley.
So basically, you know, you heard that Dak Prescott score. He threw the two scores, 245 yards. San Francisco was bearing down on him for a lot of that game. Stayed poised, stayed controlled in the pocket. Real quick, if you did want to call in, it is a shorter show today. 713-955-0359. If not, we'll be back to regularly scheduled programming next week. Doing the hour show.
We're going to get a Twitter up and running here soon, too, so everybody can tweet to us instead of the phone call stuff. So if you want to tweet your thoughts, stuff, we'll read them on the air.
Beautiful. So Dak is your star of the week?
Oh, for sure. I got to go with Dak just because this is his first multi-passing touchdown. That's my biggest gripe against this son of a gun is that he refused to throw a passing touchdown when the opportunity was there. Sometimes he needs to force the issue. Listen, this no interception thing, rookie record that he has, it's all good and well, man, but I don't know if I'd prefer this. We're talking three touchdowns through four games?
Yes. Passing touchdowns.
I don't know if I'd prefer three passing touchdowns through four games or 10 in four interceptions. I'd rather have 10 and four.
Okay.
All day.
I would rather have, you know, I don't care if he has zero. As long as we're sitting at 3-1 or 4-0, that's just me. My big thing is, and my star of the week has got to be a guy who was a former first round draft pick and somebody who was injured, has been benched, has been through the trials and tribulations in Dallas, and that's got to be Mo Claypool.
Starting at their 45, Gabbert.
protected. Airs it out. Torrey Smithy picked off. Claiborne back the other way, and a takeaway for this Dallas defense.
That's three consecutive games now that this Dallas D has forced at least one turnover. And I think this bend but don't break defense is going to keep them in games unless they're playing a high-powered offense like the Patriots or something like that, who just happened to come up and down the field with reckless abandon. But this defense fights. They play hard. I think that, you know, with getting DeMarcus Lawrence back next week, they'll be able to get after Andy Dalton a little bit. They showed that they're okay against the run. They're not great, but they're okay. I think they'll be okay against Cincinnati, honestly. The Cincinnati game at home, yeah, I'm a little nervous about it. But I think that there's a little bit of magic around this team right now. I think that had Terrence Williams gotten out of bounds, teams 4-0, being talked about as one of the best teams in the league right now. So I'm okay with it. I'm happy. I'm optimistic. When last year at this time, I'm sitting there pulling my hair out saying, we might have the number one overall pick. So at least we
have about today. Yeah, I mean, it's all good and well, man, but I'm just saying, I think if you have a quarterback that's putting up big numbers, that forces other teams to respect that position. By forcing the other teams to respect that position, they then aren't able to load eight in the box. They then have to start playing more defensive back in the backfield. Then that opens up for the last guy we wanted to talk about today, which was Zeke Mode here. If they don't respect Dak Prescott, they don't respect Tony Romo, they man-to-man shut down our two wideouts. That's going to be one hell of a day for Ezekiel Elliott, and I don't think he gets the 140-plus yards in the TD that he got today.
Yeah, he might not. They get a very good fun. I mean, it's going to be a tough game regardless. But, you know, good teams find ways to win in adversity. And if this is going to be a good team, then it's going to potentially be a division team.
Because, honestly, I don't think Philly is as good as everyone.
I think there's a lot of jock riding in Philadelphia right now. You know, the Giants showed their true colors. The Redskins are garbage. So I think if this team is going to win the division, they've got to show that they can beat playoff caliber teams early in the season. And they got a chance to do it next week, 2 weeks in a row with Cincinnati and Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm down with it, man. I'm telling you, I think realistically, watch out for Cincinnati. I think Green Bay is just, I don't know. It depends on how out of his mind Dak plays. You know, it depends on if Dez plays. But, you know, that's...
Well, just keep being bad as it is.
It all depends on how well Aaron Rodgers and Dalton play as well.
You know what we... You know what the one other thing that we wanted to get to was that trade scenario that we were talking about with Dez.
Well, we can jump into a little bit next week. You want to just preview it a little bit before we jump?
We're going to cover it next week. It might not be as valid next week because the wounds might be a little bit patched up by then. But I'm saying in a team that needs defense and is sick of diva wide receivers, you trade Dez Bryant straight up for
Cam Chancellor, I believe. When you
Cam Chancellor, a guy that they can't afford in Seattle. Or J.J. Watt, a guy who is equally hampered by injuries, who wouldn't have to go very far and could stay in Texas.
I love Dez, but he's becoming injury prone, becoming more and more of a diva every day. So,
I don't know. I'm with it. We'll explore a little bit next week. We'll take calls on it next week and see what the Cowboys family and fan base has to say. If that's it, then the only thing left to say today, and I think that this pretty much sums up the season. The only thing left for me is this.
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah!